Psalm 86. Preached this morning on the long suffering of God. I preached on the long suffering of God in the Old Testament. But see, it runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Everything about you and I, every breath that we take, every time you take a step, brother, I tell you, it's the long suffering of God that you're able to do that. And God's long suffering, He suffers long and He puts up with us. And we looked a little bit this morning over there in the Old Testament. We saw it in the flood of Noah. The Bible said when once the long suffering God waited for 8 souls to be saved, 969 years. We saw it in there in the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah. God came down there and Lot was there, a man that vexed his righteous soul there and seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. And yet before God brought the fire down, He pulled him out. He didn't want to come out. And an angel said, "We can't do anything to you, leave." We saw in the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, we saw the long-suffering of God in the fickleness of Israel. I mean, every time something come along, what to God, we'd have stayed in Egypt. And we saw it in the fiery temper of the man Moses there. The Bible said he was the meekest man of all the earth. But that day he got mad and smote the rock twice. And God wouldn't let him go in the promised land. But God brought him to that mountain and said, "Moses, I'm going to let you take the first look at it." And God buried him. Saw it in the felony of David. Saw it in the foolishness of Solomon. We saw it in the folly a little bit of Samson. We saw it in the fatigue of Elijah. We could go on and on and on the Old Testament. But I want to give you a few things tonight on the New Testament. God's long suffering runs all throughout the Bible. It's found everywhere. And it's amazing that God puts up with us. And you know everybody in that Bible, every man in that Bible, no matter how great they are, you know what, Brother Anthony, they had problems. Yeah. Just like me and you, see. You know why I know God wrote that Bible? If man was writing that Bible, they wouldn't write all the bad stuff they did. I mean, really, if David was writing the Bible, would he write about Bathsheba? I don't think so. I mean, listen, if man was writing that Bible, they wouldn't write all the bad stuff. And there's a lot of bad stuff in there. And there's a lot of failings of man. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of things. But all through it, one theme runs through it, and that's the long suffering of a holy God putting up with us. And I want to just give you a few things in the New Testament, try to get through tonight. I know everybody's ready for some pizza and hot dogs and all that good stuff. I'm ready too. I had to help carry some pizza. I'm still thinking about it. I want to give you a few things. First of all, I want you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 1. And there's a lot of great men in the Bible, by the way. And God uses men and women. He uses us with our problems. And that's one thing I see in the long suffering of God, like we saw with David and Solomon. I mean, I could have gave you a lot about Solomon. That Solomon was a rascal man. He was something else. And God still, the Bible said that God loved Solomon. You realize Solomon was the product of David and Bathsheba, that adulteress. And still God loved him. He was special to the Lord. You realize Solomon had all those women, and all those women he went after, and the Bible said they stole his heart, and he turned his heart to other gods and served the god of Ashtoreth, and he built the high places to Molech. And it's still God put up with him. Amazing. It's amazing what God puts up with. And God knows all about us, every thought we've ever had, everything we could do. I was talking to this cop here. I called about when guys stole our laptop last week, and he and I were talking down there. He said he was saved. His name is Jay Cantrell. Pray for him. But he don't go to church. He don't like church, he said. He said the reason he don't like to go to church, he said when I go to church, he said I look around, half the people in there I've arrested. What he said. I told him this. I said, guess what? If God came, we got caught for everything we'd done, we'd all been arrested, wouldn't we?
Amen, brother.
And he said, well, yeah.
Amen,
I mean, that's not a big deal, is it? You know what? God, He's long-suffering. Listen, if you would have could have done everything you just thought about this week, would you probably be down there at the homeless or in jail? You know what God does? He puts up with a lot of us, brother. In the long-suffering of God, you find it throughout the Bible. In John chapter 1, it says, is this in verse number 6. There was a man sent from God. Special man whose name was John. The name John means God is gracious. God was gracious with John. Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe.
Through who?
John. John was that light, Brother Anthony, that God was going to use and open up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1 said about John in verse 15, when he's a baby, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. This one is in the womb, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What a ministry John the Baptist had. John's ministry was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel and the world. In John chapter 1 verse 29, when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Over in Matthew chapter 3, Brother Chris, it was John the Baptist that got to baptize the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that have been something? I mean, he came to John. He said, "I need to get baptized." And John said, "John, you need to baptize me." And Jesus said, "I know of a sufferer, so let it be right there." And the Bible said he baptized him. And it said this, he straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hey, I would have loved to have been there for that, wouldn't you? That would have helped me. Help me, man. I'm baptizing the Lord, or anybody, and heavens opens up and the Spirit of God comes down like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I think I could run a little while on that, Brother Don. I think I could handle that a little while, Miss Samantha. I think that would do me some good right there. And old John heard all that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. John was a man, brother. He is a man. He is a man's man. He is a man. Matthew chapter 3 said over there that John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat were locusts and wild honey. Son, that's better than old Bear Grylls over there, the wild man, isn't it? I mean, they was over there with a leathern girdle. Had been eating locusts and wild honey. Miss Samantha, she don't like Captain D's. She really wouldn't want to go eat out with John, would she? I wouldn't either. I don't think I could handle a locust. I might handle a little honey. Well, he was a man. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 7. And they went to party. He's talking about John the Baptist here in Matthew chapter 11. And you know what Jesus looks for? Men. Real men, not Cub Scouts. I'm talking man's what he looks. Look what he says. Matthew 11, 7, he said this. And they departed, and Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind?" He's talking about somebody just blows around, you know, hadn't got no convictions or hadn't got no stand. He said, "But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" Hey, you go out to see some little whippy somebody in a soft raiment? He said, "No." He said, "Behold, they that wear soft clothing are king's house." He said, "What went you out to see? A prophet." I say more than a prophet. He was a man. Brother, you wasn't going to rattle John the Baptist. Somebody said when John the Baptist came to church, you know where he sat? Anywhere he wanted to. Come in that leathern girdle, locust on his breath. He probably got a whole pew, Miss Samantha. Nobody got around him. Brother, you wasn't going to rattle that boy. Or could you? You see, we all got our problems, don't we? We all got enough fleas left in us to know we're a dog, right? We all got left there. Here's old John the Baptist, and Lord's bragging on him. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, what it says. And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed at this to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison, John's thrown in prison over there. And he heard in prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples, watch it. And he said unto them, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I see the long suffering of God in the forgetfulness of John the Baptist. Don't you remember just a while back, Miss Liz? He baptized the Lord Jesus and the heaven opened and a dove came down, the Spirit of God and a voice and all that stuff he saw and did and all that. And now he said, "Go ask him, is he the right one or not? I'm in here in prison." So he done forgot about everything. All that he did. I mean, he is filled from the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And I love what the Lord Jesus said to him. That kind, compassionate Lord Jesus. And he said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus asked and said to him, go and show John. Watch this. Look at that word right there. See that word? Again. Again. We need it again. And again. And again. And again. And again. You know what? There's the long suffering of God and the forgetfulness of the great John the Baptist. We forget too, don't we? I preach on the bed. I got a message. Beware that thou forget not. We forget everything about God. We just forget that all easy. And he told John, he said, go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have their gospel preached to them. And P.S. John, he threw this in for John. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. There's the long suffering of God in the forgetfulness of John the Baptist. Look what Jesus said a little bit later down in verse 11. This is what he thought about all that. Oh, John done got discouraged, ready to quit, doubting who he was. I mean, he as bad as Peter over there denying the Lord with the damsel there. John says, hey, are you the right one? Do we look for another one? Look what Jesus said about old John after that. Matthew verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that at least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He said, of all the men that are born of women, he's the best. So what is that? That's the long suffering of God. Oh my God, thou art full of compassion and gracious and long suffering. Plenteous in mercy and truth. Not only did I see it there, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. You know, a lot of these men, they're great men. But you know what? Great men are great men because they got a great God. Had nothing to do with those men. Had nothing to do with those men. Had to do with their God, see? They had the same problems we got. It said about Elias. Elias over there in James, we saw this morning, Elias was a man subject to like passions as you and I. He had the same problems we got. He is just like me and you, but he prayed and said. Fatty just like us had the same problem, but he prayed. See, the difference between those great men and me and you, they had a great God. Our God's only that big. Our God is this big, see. That's the difference. There's the forgetfulness of John the Baptist. Not only that, look at Matthew 26. Here's the forswearing of Peter. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said unto him, and you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yeah, well, I'll never be offended. Oh, I met some Peters like that, hadn't you? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Oh, brother, it's easy when you're on top of the mountain, isn't it? It's easy, that God of the mountain. Thank God the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Amen. Look at Matthew, look at verse 69. Now Peter sat without the palace, same chapter, Matthew 26, 69. And a damsel came up to him, saying, thou also with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, this fellow with the Jesus of Nazareth. Again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a while came him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. There's the long suffering in the forswearing of the great apostle Peter. Remember Matthew chapter 4. Peter was one of the first men that Jesus Christ ever called. You know that? He is one of the first ones in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net, and said they were fishers. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, right then and there, Brother Anthony, they straightway left their nets and followed him. They gave up their old life. They gave it up. Peter was a commercial fisherman. He knew about it. And he left everything he had. Straightway, immediately left his nets and followed Jesus. But that night, he denied him. He began to curse and swear, said, I know not the man. A little bit later in John chapter 21, you know what Peter said? John chapter 21, verse 15. So they were dying. Mark chapter 16. And Peter said this. He said this. I go a fishing. John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to him, I go a fishing. You know what he meant to say? I'm going back out in that old life. I'm going back and pick up those nets I left down that day. God can't use me no more. Man, I done denied Him and cursed and swore in front of all those. God can't do nothing with me anymore. I love what it says over in Mark chapter 16 when that angel came and talked to those ladies and he said this. He said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. You see, Peter done got out of the fold. Peter's thinking, man, I can't be a disciple. And there's the forswearing of Peter and I see the long suffering of God there in the life of Peter. Peter done said, I'm going to fish and I done blew it, guys. I'm going back to the old life. That angel said, well, you go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus will be waiting for him over there. You know what happened? Jesus showed up there with Peter and sat down beside him. I like Brother David's Peacock's message. I'll never forget. He talks about Jesus went over there for one reason. He's looking for a man called Peter. And that's what he did. He got over there by Peter and sat by him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Three times for those denials. And Jesus took the tension out to deal with Peter. There's the long suffering of God in the forswearing of Peter. I see it in the forgetfulness of John the Baptist. I mean, these men were just like me and you. They fall and stump their toe and break their nose and get a bloody nose and mess up all over the place. I could give you all kind of thing about some of them in there if you look at it. But there's another one I see in there. I see the long suffering of God in the forgetfulness of John the Baptist. I see it in the forswearing of Peter, but I see it in the fury of a man called Saul of Tarsus. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Boy, I'm so glad the Lord is full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. But I got news for you. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for the long-suffering of God. There's a long suffering of God in the fury of the Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. There's Stephen, that stoned there that day for preaching the gospel, and they stoned him. And the Bible says this in Acts 7. This is the first time old Saul shows up. Acts 7, 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. His name was Saul. Saul was the one, he said a little bit later, he said, I was consenting unto his death and I held the clothes of the one that stoned him. He said, here, take my jacket, Paul. Saul, and hold him while we stone this guy to death. There's the fury of Saul of Tarsus. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, and it says, as for Saul, Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, inhaling men and women and committed them to prison. You say, who was that? That was Saul of Tarsus. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I see the long suffering of God and the fury of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had dedicated his life. He was one that had taken prison, committed to prison, sitting unto their death. Boy, I was God. I'd have took Saul out right then, wouldn't you? I wouldn't have gave him 2 minutes. God is long-suffering and full of compassion, gracious, full of compassion. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and the synagogue, if any found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them back. Saul of Tarsus going there and getting Christians, putting them in prison. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling in that stature, started said, Lord. That got his attention, didn't it, Brother Chris? That's what that dying thief said, Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, why wilt thou have me to do?
And there on the road to Damascus, the fury of Saul met the long suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fury of Saul became the faith on that day of the great Apostle Paul. I see the long suffering of God in the fury of Saul of Tarsus. I mean, God reached down there and He reached way down and grabbed Saul of Tarsus, one of the greatest persecutors of the Christian faith, and the long-suffering of God took him and put him, and he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, get Ephesians 3, and we're going to go to 1 Timothy 1. It's amazing. The long-suffering of God. Here's a man, Brother Chris, that had dedicated his life to killing Christians and taking them and putting them in prison and throwing them in there if he found any of this way. And God met him, that long-suffering of God, one day on the road to Damascus and made him the greatest Christian that ever lived. Nobody could do that but God, brother. You and I wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have gave that guy a time of day. But God said, that's the one I want right there. I see the long-suffering of God and the fury of Saul of Tarsus. 1 Corinthians 9:17 says this. You know what God did? He gave Paul, and Paul opened the dispensation of the grace of God. Who would have been better than Paul to know about the grace of God? Nobody. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:17. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Look at it says Ephesians 3:2. Have you ever heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me? You heard it was the Apostle Paul. It was the Saul of Tarsus that God reached out and opened up the dispensation of the grace of God. Who in the world knew it better than Paul? One of the greatest persecutors of the Christian faith. He met the long suffering of the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Take your Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh man, don't you love this book? Man, no man could write this stuff. No man would write it. I like what Wesley asked. Wesley one time how he knew the Bible was the Word of God. He said for three reasons. He said number one, bad man couldn't have wrote the Bible because it condemns them to hell. That's good. He said good men wouldn't have wrote the Bible. If it wasn't true, they wouldn't be good men. They'd be lying. That's good. He said the only option is God wrote it. Because you know what that Bible does? It'll condemn us to hell without Jesus Christ. Man wouldn't write that book. You think Paul would have wrote that if he was writing not under the Holy Spirit? You think he'd be telling everybody about what he did? I don't think so. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look what he said. I love this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I love this. Nobody could say this but Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Look at the next verse. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Watch this. We're talking about the long suffering of God. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern them which should hereafter believe. He said, you look at me, brother, and you can see the pattern of all the long suffering in Jesus Christ. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, and look at me now. Woo! I see the long suffering of God and the fury of Saul of Tarsus. I see it this morning, not only that, I see the long suffering of God in the forgiveness of the sinner. You know, we read this morning in Genesis chapter 6, and God saw the imagination, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And God saw that, He sees all that, He knows every thought. And yet God loved us enough, knowing that, that He sent His Son to die on the cross and shed His precious blood for you and I. I see the long-suffering of God in the forgiveness of that sinner. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He sees it all and knows it all. Nothing's hid from Him. And this holy, righteous God loved us so much, He brought forgiveness through the blood of His Son. I see it as the forgiveness of the sinner. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." Romans 2:4, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." 2 Peter 3:15, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." I mean, the greatest long-suffering God ever put up with is when His Son, Jesus Christ, came down this earth and died in our place on a rugged cross, and we simply have it through the forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? We can stand on the street corner and tell them. You can walk down in Best Buy. Little Spanish girl, Brother Zito, led the Lord. Just that simple. Waffle House, we was over there a couple of months there and led a waitress to the Lord. Coming out to church one day, stopped over Dollar General, led the little black boys, a cashier to the Lord there. You say, what is that? That's the long-suffering of God. We go down to those homeless people, those precious people don't have anything. Hardly many of them live on the viaduct. Many sleep in their car. And you know what? God's forgiveness is just as available to them as it is anybody in this world. It's just as available to them as it was Billy Graham. I see the long-suffering God in the forgiveness of the sinner. I look at my life, man, what God did for me and picked me up as a 20-year-old dope-head atheist. And I was thinking the other day, Miss Liz, when me and you were standing out trussful on the corner the other day, my mind was thinking, boy, oh boy, oh boy, who would ever thought this old boy 44 years ago would be standing on a street corner preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, why are you doing that? Because a long-suffering God. God put up with me all those years, all the things, and blasting Him and cursing Him and didn't want anything with Him and used His name in vain. But that long-suffering God put up with me and put up with me. I see it in the forgiveness of the sinner. I'll give you one other thing. And this is, by the way, this is where my message started with this point. I could preach a message on any one of these points easy. But I want to say, you see the long-suffering of God, take your Bible. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see the long-suffering of God in the final conversion of the church age. Boy, I sure would like to see the Lord come back. I mean, I would. Every Christian that ever lived, Paul wrote over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you're turning there, you'll see it. Over there, 1 Thessalonians 4, he's talking about the rapture. And he says this, over there in verse 17, "In which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." He thought he was going up with the Lord. You know what, Miss Liz? I am so glad that he didn't come back during Paul's day. You say, why? I'd have never got saved. The rapture would have took place. You can say rapture has, you hit the tribulation, brother, and it's a whole different deal. Not just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. You have to earn it when you get there. You can't take that mark of the beast or you'll be beheaded. You get in that thing, it's a different deal, my friend. I got saved in 1975. And boy, Brother Chris, I wanted the Lord to come back right then. In the 1970s, Brother Hurley, they had Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth. Y'all remember that? It was coming out. And they had Salem Kerman's Revelation Revealed, John Walford book, J.R. Church, all these prophecy guys. And man, I was eating it up. And boy, every day I got up, I thought the Lord was coming back. Man, I was just looking for every day. Brother Anthony, I thought, well, this is it. This has got to be the last day. I remember I was laying down one night reading my Bible on the couch. And I was kind of dozing off a little bit. And my next door neighbor, our houses were close, they're little houses. And they were close. And Frankie Flynn, my next door neighbor, he had one of these old ram horns. And son, that thing was loud. And I was laying down there thinking about the rapture. Been all pumped up, Miss Samantha, and I was ready to go. I mean, I was bouncing along there waiting for that horn to blow. And all of a sudden I heard that beep! And boy, oh, this is it! For real! But you know what? Brother Ben, I'm glad it wasn't it.
I'm glad it wasn't it. Because I'd have never got the privilege of leading David Beer to the Lord. Don would have never got saved. He just got saved 10 years ago. I'm so glad he didn't come in. I wouldn't have been able to lead Mike Julian to the Lord. The other day I saw all these people that I led to the Lord through the years. I'd have never got to lead them to the Lord, Brother Anthony, if he'd have come back right then. You know why God's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? And we say, let's go, let's go, let's go. And we want him to go. And God's saying, hold off a little bit. Let's just hold off a little bit. He'd like for us to be there. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. He'd love to have us standing right there, His children. But you know what? He got a job. Look at over the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Over there in Revelation chapter 22 verse 20, you know what it says? And I got it on the board out there. It says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Boy, I sure like to see Him come back. But I'm selfish. I'd have liked for Him to come back a long time ago. But boy, I am glad He didn't. I'm glad God knows what He's doing. Because look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's why He hadn't come back. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3 says this, knowing this, that there should come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? When is He coming back? You've been saying it for years, Christian. When is He coming back? Here's the key. Look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one. God has no time. God's not worried about your time. There's verse 9. Here's the reason the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's coming back. You know why He hadn't come back? As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is trying to get every soul He can in before He comes back. Amen. The Lord is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish. Remember over there we saw this morning the days of Noah. The Bible says in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. We saw where once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Where is it? 8 souls were saved. You know what God's trying to do this morning, beloved? He's trying to get every single soul He can. Every soul is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 15:10 says, likewise I say unto you, there shall joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. One. That's why we go out and do the things we do and try to get people saved. Just one is precious to the Lord. I got one with my buddy here, Brother Marvin Glass, 86 years old. Talked to him about a month ago. Love that old man. Love that old man. He's a soul winner, brother. That man's a soul winner. 86 years old, got dementia. You probably never met him, Brother Chris. He's got dementia. He used to pastor churches for a year. Can't pastor anymore. He said, I'm not a preacher, I'm a compeller. I compel them to come in, what he says. And he is the real deal. He came from Arizona to Birmingham. He traveled with enlighteners from Arizona to Birmingham. They stopped different places. He led 17 people to the Lord. Came here to Birmingham, came here to Springville one time, and the Lightners, and saying why he was here, he led a lady of the Lord at Waffle House and led a lady of the Lord at Walmart. His famous saying is, one more soul. One more, he said to me, but hey, I just want God to give me one more soul. One more soul. That's the name of his little book about soul winning. He says this, don't give up. Don't give up. Just look up. Just read God's holy word and pray to get one more soul saved. You know what God's trying to do today? God's trying to get one more soul. You know the long-suffering of God is waiting and waiting and waiting for that final conversion of that church age. You know, I was talking to Brother Earl Ankrum Tuesday. He called me. We had a talk. He calls every once in a while, see how we're doing. He called, and I told Brother Earl, I said, we've got a little ministry. We're helping downtown this couple, the homeless ministry. And I said, we're having a ball, Brother Earl.
And I said, I'm trying to find something every night for us to do. I said, I'm looking every night to try something we can do for God. I said, I want to just stay as busy as we can for the Lord. And he told me this, and I was telling Brother Anthony about it the other day, Brother Chris. He told me, he said, Brother Terry, he said, I try to preach on the street every single day. He said, if I'm traveling and on the road, I'm going through a city to a meeting. He said, if I have to, I'll stop at a gas station and get on a curb at a gas station and just preach a little bit for the Lord. And he told me this, which I thought was really profound. He said, despite what people say, he said, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. Amen. And he said this. He said, I just figure the more things I do for the Lord every day, he said, the greater the chance is when he comes back, I'll be doing something for him.
Yep.
That's good. Wouldn't it be fun, Ben, while you're standing in Arby's and you're telling them about Jesus Christ and standing there, give them a little testimony about that time? Woo! Wouldn't it be great, Miss Liz, we're standing there on the street corner, Trussell holding up some gospel signs, Brother Chris, and Chris is running down there with that machine gun, preaching it, Lord, saying, let's go. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great? You lead somebody to God, and all of a sudden, boom, a rapture takes place. Wouldn't it be good, man? Miss Rachel, you're there at the nursing home talking to one of those ladies about the Lord. She led one to the Lord the other day, and you guys are praying about that thing, and boom! Wouldn't that be something? Last Monday, I was telling you about that girl at Cosby Lake. Little Arena, little black girl there. And I told Earl about that when he was telling me that. And I got thinking about that because I've been thinking about this message too. And I took that little girl's hand and we prayed and led her to the Lord. And I told Brother Earl, I said, wouldn't that have been something if I'd had the last soul to go in? Somebody's going to have it! Somebody will get that final conversion. And I just figure the more I can get in, Brother Dutt, the better my chances are to take that last one in. You know what God's waiting? The long-suffering of God to us word. He's not willing that any should perish. He's trying to get one more soul like Brother Marvin. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Our Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the glorious opportunity and privilege and honor and joy to tell people about you, Lord. Lord, I'd rather tell people about you and witness for you, Lord, and pass out tracts and stand on the street corner and knock on the door, Lord, for you than anything on this earth, Lord. There is nothing, Lord, comparing to it, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for letting us live in a country while we still have the freedom. Help us, Lord, to use it while we got it, Father. Lift it up and be cognizant everywhere we go, God. And we're looking at somebody there that's got a beautiful soul in them, God. A soul that you died for, Lord. And one, God, that we can make a difference, Lord. You said some having compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And we can make that difference, God. Help us to realize that, Lord. Help us to realize, God, and see that soul that you see, Lord. And Lord, we thank you this evening, Lord, for being so long-suffering to us. Thank you, Lord, that thou art a God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And Lord, we pray now for the rest of the night and pray for this whole fellowship with food. All the things going on. We just pray we'd have a good time there and just enjoy the time now with you and your children now. And pray your blessing on the food, these people that prepared it and worked and got it and done these things to make it possible, Lord. Pray your blessing upon it. We love you tonight, Lord. All my heart that I've got, Lord, I love you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Hurley, y'all gonna stay? Yeah, let's let Brother Hurley and his kids go ahead and go first. You go ahead and go down. Open the door for them. Let's let them go down first and get in line. I can't eat much either, my.